job. Good job.
Ephesians 6. Ephesians 6. Thank you. Ephesians 6.
Ephesians 6.
All right. Wow. Wow, that was okay, that's enough. Ephesians chapter 6. I'll be straightened up now. Thanks, guys. No, don't do it anymore. Now I'm going to encourage him. Boy, that was a great special. I didn't understand the second half very much, but the first half was good. And if you don't mind a little constructive criticism, I don't want to single anybody out, but the guy section didn't sound that good. That's good. I'm just serious. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. Ephesians chapter 6, if you didn't hear it through all the hullabaloo and the hip hip hoorays. This reminds me of when I walk in my house every day. That's exactly what it's like, my wife. Except she usually sings for he's a jolly good fellow, but don't do that. Anyway, Ephesians chapter 6. We're getting seriousness out of this, but I have a few questions for you to contemplate as you're turning to Ephesians 6. Why would a person who knew that God led them to come to Hiles Anderson College suddenly quit and go home? Why? What would cause a godly Christian from a godly Christian home to fail morally? Why would an exemplary Hiles Anderson graduate a few years down the road change over to contemporary music and lower their dress standards? Why would they do that? More importantly, why will some of you that are sitting in this room right now who can't see how anybody could possibly do those things I just mentioned someday do the same thing yourself? Ephesians chapter 6, look at verse number 11, please. Ephesians chapter 6, verse number 11. We're going to show you at least one reason why. Ephesians 6, 11, put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Now, the word wiles is not a word that we use often, but it literally means tricks. And we do understand that. And when I came out a while ago, it was a little trick that I played. And some of you, one girl passed out. She thought it was really real. But most of you, some of you may have thought, how's he doing that? And some of you have seen it, and you say, oh, I know how he does that. And then I revealed the secret, and you still didn't know how to do it. But basically, you get a pair of pants, and you cut holes in the right back here. But don't do that with a good pair of pants. Go to your roommate's dresser and get a pair from there. And anyway, so. But that was a trick. And now, Satan's tricks are a lot better than that. Because that trick didn't fool you. You said, okay, I don't know exactly how you may be doing it, but it's obviously a trick because that's impossible. And but Satan's tricks are a lot more harder to perceive and realize. And the thing about it is, there are some tricks that you might not fall for, someone else might fall for. There are some tricks that you would never fall for, but there are tricks that you would fall for, and Satan knows which ones they are. So why were the people, the general group of people I mentioned earlier, why would they do these things? Well, they were tricked. They were deceived. They believed Satan's lies in some form. I'm going to show you a few videos. The first video I want to show you is me. I was out soul winning in Chicago, and I ran into some rough guys that were giving me some trouble. And let's go ahead and play that first one.
Nice day for a walk.
So don't mess with me. Another time I was preaching a citywide crusade, and during the intermission they had a slam dunk competition, and I just jumped into that. So
Timothy Harrell rocking the warm-up suit. Let's see what he's got. He gathers up, spinning all the way around. 360, and he hammers it home. That is huge.
That's what I'm talking about. Thank you. My next video is another soul winning experience, but this was in a very, very rough part of town that I would not advise you to go. Go ahead and show that.
Just a dream. Hi there.
Hey, wait a minute. Hey, can you go back a little bit? There was a girl in that. I recognize. Oh yeah, wait. Right there. That looks like Sarah Dunlap. I don't know. Maybe not. No, she doesn't look that bad. Okay. Two more. I have a good friend of mine, real close to me. His name is Myron. And here's a video of Myron arm wrestling a guy.
Big fella, you ready for a physics lesson?
Just say go.
Go. Yep, that's good. Yep, keep trying. You're fading, see? Lever and fulcrum. Works every time.
Not yet.
And
there.
Boom, that is how you do it.
That's how you do it. And one more. Of Myron. Myron got in a little bit of trouble here. He was in Chicago and on his motorcycle, and he was being chased by the police, Chicago police. Let's see what happened here.
Out of my way! Can't catch me, coppers! This little beauty's got wings! Bye-bye, boys in blue!
All right. Now, I know what some of you are thinking. Wow! Brother Harrell, you are awesome. And you are right. Now, all of you know that was AI. You didn't know that? It was, really was. Okay, all of them but the basketball one. That wasn't AI, but all the other ones were AI. But all right. Now, in our society today, that's known as, at least in some form, deep fake. How many have heard that term, deep fake? Okay, now usually deep fake is used, they take someone's likeness and they have them do something, usually it's something bad, to where it makes them look bad. And even though some people might look at it and say, that didn't really happen, some people would. And so it's meant to hurt people's reputation and so forth, but it's called deep fake. Well, the title of my message today is called The Devil's Deep Fake, because he's good at this and he tries to do it to us. The Devil's Deep Fake. Let's pray. Father, Lord, we've had a lot of fun, and maybe we'll have a little more fun as we go along, but Lord, this is a serious topic, Lord, because it's not a game with Satan. Sometimes we look at Christianity as just fun and games and maybe just a time to be with friends, and there's nothing wrong with that to some extent, Lord, but Satan doesn't look at it all that way, Lord. Satan, it's not a game to him. It's a battle, and he wants to win, and I pray, Lord, that something we say today, Lord, will help everybody to realize that we do have an enemy, and his name is Satan. And Lord, we need to be aware of that and be able to know how to fight against him. Please help us today in Christ's name. Amen. We're going to look at three areas of Satan. First of all, the facts of Satan in your life. Then we're going to look at the fakes of Satan in your life. And then we're going to look at the failure of Satan in your life. In other words, how to stop him. So first of all, we're going to look at the facts of Satan in your life. John chapter 8, verse 44. I'm going to give you a lot of verses, and if you can turn to them, great. If you're biblically challenged, you may not be able to get them all, but that's fine. I'm going to read them to you. And just lost my paper clip. All right. John chapter 8, verse 44. The first statement is this. The first fact of Satan in your life is that he's a liar. He invented the lie, and there's no truth in him. John 8, 44. Ye are of your father, the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, and there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. So the first fact we see about Satan is he's a liar. He cannot be trusted. He does not tell the truth. Number two, second fact of Satan in your life is Satan is your sworn enemy, and he's determined to get you. 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 8 and 9. Satan is your sworn enemy, and he's determined to get you. 1 Peter 5, verse 8 and verse 9. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Satan wants you. And I don't know of any group in America that Satan would want any more than this group right here. Because the potential in this one room, you know, sometimes they have a meeting with presidents and dignitaries, and you have all these people in one area, and you think, wow, if something happened, if a bomb went off in that one area, man, that would be rough because you got all these important people. This is far more important than that. There is no presidential cabinet. There are no groups of people that are of any more importance to the kingdom of God and the future of this world than sitting right here. Now, there are other great Christian colleges, and I could say similar things about those groups, but right now we're talking about you right in here. And there's great potential, and Satan knows that, and he's after every one of you. There's not a one of you in here that Satan says, I'm not going to worry with them. The only one Satan doesn't worry about are the people that have already given up. And that's his goal. If he can get you to give up, you know, and some people already have. Some people say, I don't want to do this Christian stuff. I've had enough of it. Been there, done that. I want to go try something else. Well, Satan doesn't have to work as much on them because he's pretty much got them. So they're not going to really run into Satan that much. But you know who's going to run into Satan a lot? You guys. Because Satan knows that you are helping his greatest enemy, which is God. And he doesn't like that. Now, he can't hurt God personally. He's not strong enough. So it's just like, you know, it's just like if a person wanted to hurt somebody, they would, the worst way possible, they would do something to their children. And the worst thing that Satan can do to God is mess with his children. And that's what he wants to do. That's the only way he can hurt God is through you. And so he's your sworn enemy, and he's seeking to get you. Number three, the third fact about Satan, and this is interesting, Satan studies you so he can find your weaknesses. In Mark chapter 3, verse 27, the Bible says, no man can enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods except he will first bind the strong man, and then he will spoil his house. You don't walk into a strong guy's house and say, here, hold out your arms. Okay. Could you put your finger there for me? Yeah. They don't do that. They find a way, where's this guy's weakness? Where's the moment where he's vulnerable? And that's what Satan does for you. He studies you. You ever notice that whatever seems to tempt you a lot happens to you often? I've been amazed that sometimes things that tempt me and all of a sudden, man, it's amazing how often I run into it. Like, what in the world? The chances of that happening, wow. Satan knows my weaknesses. Satan knows your weaknesses. And he's going to attack you in those areas. And so, yeah, that's why you learn Scripture. Thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. Okay. The more Bible you know, the more weapons you have against the devil. Number four, fourth fact about Satan in your life. Satan's ultimate goal is to gain advantage over you and rob you of all God's blessings. Well, we are a blessed people. We sang the song a while ago. I am blessed beyond all measure. Beautiful song. Great job, too, by the way. Even the guys. All the guys did a great job on it, too. And they were a little off from each other. I think one was a little flat. Anyway, but well, good job. But all the things that God's done for us, we are blessed beyond all measure. Why are we blessed? Because of God. We may not realize it, but the Bible says his mercies are new every morning. How many like mercy? And I'm not talking about mercy stites. Noah raised his hand. Ooh, I like mercy. Sorry, I didn't mean to embarrass you. Actually, yeah, I did. I'm glad I did. But I'm talking about the mercy of God. I like mercy. If I get pulled over by the police, which I don't think I ever have, I don't remember. But I don't say, no, I don't want a warning. I want a ticket. Give it to me. No. I'm sorry, officer, please. I'll never do it again, I promise. We like mercy. Everybody likes mercy. But the blessings of God, wow. But Satan wants to take those away from you. You know, and sometimes we get the mistaken belief that, okay, my life's not too bad, but boy, look at all these other people having fun. Man, they seem to be having a lot of fun. They seem to be having more fun now. I wonder what it's like. And I'm telling you, it's just Satan's AI. That's all it is. This is deep fake. So 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11, lest Satan should gain or should get an advantage of us. Satan wants to gain advantage of you. You like it when people take advantage of you? You like to be a sucker? You like to fall for something that costs you something? Satan's trying to get advantage of us. But it goes on to say, for we are not ignorant of his devices or his purposes. Now, Paul says we're not ignorant of his devices. The question is, are you ignorant of his devices? You just walk through life blindly? Yeah, whatever. I'm not worried about that. I know they preach against that. But yeah, I can handle it. So those are some of the facts of Satan in your life. The second area we're going to look at are the fakes of Satan in your life. What are some things that Satan does? He does many things, and this is not an exhaustive list, but what are some things that Satan does to deceive you? Here's just a few things that I think he does to get us to believe his lie. Number one is this thought. A little curiosity won't hurt anything. I wonder. The Bible says in Romans 16, in verse 19, it says, for your obedience has come abroad unto all men, and I'm glad therefore on your behalf, but yet I would have you wise unto that which is good, and the last phrase says, and simple concerning evil. You know, there's something about us. We want to know all about everything. Oh boy, this group that does this rock and roll music. I wonder what it's like. This rap. You know, whatever it is popular now. Whatever it is that's people are following and pursuing TikTok and all of that. Well, I wonder what that's like. They're talking about this. I've never heard of that. My parents would never let me do that. They were real strict. I wonder what I'm missing. Curiosity. Remember this, David. The Bible says David was a man after God's own heart. And I'm going to read you a portion of the story about David's, that led to David's sin. In 2 Samuel chapter 11 and verses 2 and 3, the Bible says, and it came to pass in an evening tide that David arose from off his bed and walked upon the roof of the king's house. And from the roof he saw a woman washing herself, and the woman was very beautiful to look upon. Now, there's a lot of debate and so forth about should he have been up there, because it was a time when kings go forth to battle. And that can be debated, and I'm not here to debate that. And was it a sin to be up on the roof? I don't think so. I mean, it's his house, it's his roof. He wasn't planning to do anything wrong. But in the process, he saw something that he shouldn't have seen. But here's where I think the problem started. And David sent and inquired after the woman. Curiosity. Huh. I don't remember that girl. I wonder what her name is. I wonder how old she is. And then he kept pursuing that. Hey, whoever his servant was, hey, the woman that lives next door in that house over there, what's her name? Find out for me. That's what led to his demise. Satan deep faked him. He didn't see any, just a little curiosity. Who is that? You know, nine times in Scripture, the Bible says David inquired of the Lord. David inquired of the Lord. David inquired of the Lord. And one time it says, and David sinned and inquired after the woman. If that can happen to a great man like David, a man after God's own heart, it can happen to you and it can happen to me. So one of Satan's deep fakes is, a little curiosity won't hurt anything. Number two, another one, you're mature enough now to handle temptation. Hey, you're not in high school anymore. Back then, you had to have your parents. You don't need your parents anymore, right? Are there any parents in the dorm? I don't think so. I don't think they've changed that since I was. Okay, so no, your parents aren't here, okay? You know, you left them back home. You're not in high school anymore. You're not a little kid anymore. You're on your own. So you're more mature. You can handle the temptation, right? Proverbs 14, verse 16. A wise man feareth and departeth from evil. I ain't scared of nothing. You're stupid then. There's a lot of things I'm scared of. My wife. No, I'm sorry. But only when she has the butcher knife in her hand. But other than that, there's some things I'm scared of. I'm afraid of a gun. Now, I own a bunch of guns. Bless God. I got two BB guns, a dart gun, and a Nerf. And no. I grew up on a farm in Kentucky. I had a gun. My first gun was when I was 12 years old. So, and I shot him before then, but that's the first one I owned that I was able to go out in the woods by myself and shoot. But I'm afraid of a gun because I know what a gun can do. So what do I do when I have a gun? I'm very careful with it. By the way, you can tell if somebody knows anything about a gun with what they do when you hand one to them. Anybody knows anything about a gun? Here's what they'll do. The first thing they'll do is they'll point the muzzle away from everybody. Then they will check the chamber to make sure there's none in it. And if it's got a clip in it, you don't just pull the chamber back because it'll keep putting one in there. You take the clip out, pull the chamber back. And I bought a new gun a while back. I took it. One of my sons lives up in Michigan, and I took it to show him. And I handed it to him. You know what the first thing he did? I didn't have to say anything. You know the first thing he did? He pointed it away, took the clip out, popped the shell out. And he kept it pointed away from everybody. He didn't go, ah! Why? Because there's a fear. Just like you're driving a car. There has to be a little bit of a fear there when you're driving a car. Because you are that far away from dying. I don't think I'm going to drive home today. I just scared myself. You know, and here you're sitting there with your phone. Yeah. Oh, you know. No wonder there's so many accidents. But there needs to be a fear. And if there's anything that should be feared, it's sin. But the Bible says, a wise man feareth and departeth from evil, but the fool rageth and is confident. That means he just goes on his way. I can handle that. And you're scared of that? Here, let me do it. I can handle that. Well, you a wise man or are you a fool? So you're mature enough to handle temptation. That's another deep fake of the devil. Number three, even though you're not really doing what you're supposed to be doing, everything seems to be going well, so you must be okay. Well, that's a popular one. Yeah, boy, I've been doing certain things, and nobody knows about it yet, and I haven't been going soul winning. You know, I go out with the route, but I don't really do it. I just go to a restaurant and kind of hide there, but nothing's happened. Everybody still likes me, and when I see Pastor Wilkerson, he goes, hey, and he knows my name and shakes my hand, and Proverbs 29:26, many seek the ruler's favor, but every man's judgment cometh from the Lord. And there's nothing wrong with seeking the ruler's favor, but you need to realize that your judgment comes from God, who sees you everywhere you go and knows exactly what you're thinking during all that time. Number four, another deep fake of the devil. There's no point in going on. It's more than you can take. You just can't do it. Boy, discouragement is one of the biggest tools of the devil. Anybody ever been discouraged? I have. Great tool of the devil. 1 Corinthians 10:13, there is no temptation taken you but such as common unto man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer or allow you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation or the testing also make a way to escape that ye may be able to bear it. When you say, I can't take it anymore, that's a lie. That's a lie Satan told you and you believed it. Now you're repeating it. I just can't take it anymore. I've had all I can take. God is faithful. He will not suffer you. He will not allow you to be tested above that you're able. So if you say, this is too much, I can't take it, you're saying God's lying. Because he said he will not let that happen to you. So again, I don't know what you're going through, and whatever some of you may be going through is much worse than what I go through right now. But I promise you this, it doesn't matter what it is, you can take it. And if you quit, it's not because you had to, it's because you just decided you wanted to. And you can blame whatever you want to blame, but it's your lack of faith in God that caused it. Lamentations chapter 3, verse 26, the Bible through 28 says, it is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. This is a hard one to swallow here, but it says, it is good for a man that he bear the yoke in his youth. I'm sorry, but this is youth. This is not youth. This is old age. This is Medicare, okay? Literally, I'm on Medicare, believe it or not, I am. Oh, I shouldn't have said that. I gotta go sit down now. But you're a youth. It is good that a man should bear the yoke in his youth. Oh, this is terrible. Why do I have it so rough? When I came to Hiles Anderson College, well, those people, those tour group people lied to me. When they came to my church, they said it was gonna be great. They said I was gonna love it. And I did day one, but I didn't know there was gonna be these problems. I didn't know I was gonna be behind on my school bill. I didn't know this was going to happen. good for a man that he bear the yoke in his youth. He sitteth alone and keepeth silence because he, God, hath borne it upon him. Whatever you're going through now, God allowed it to be upon you. And he knows it's not too heavy for you. If you don't lift it, it's not because you can't. It's because you say, I'm not going to lift it. Boy, discouragement. What a tool that Satan uses. There's no point in going on. I failed too many times. There's no point in going on. I don't have what it takes to succeed. There's no point in going on. I'll never overcome my past. There's no point in going on. I'm not worthy to serve the Lord. None of us are. There's no point in going on. I'm never going to have a life's mate. Last area here. The failure of Satan in your life. How do you keep this from happening? How do you keep from being one of Satan's victims? How do you defeat him from his purpose? Number one, back to Ephesians chapter 6. Put on the whole armor of God. The Bible says, put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles or the tricks of the devil. If you think you can stand against the tricks of the devil on your own, you're sadly mistaken. You can't just look up there and say, oh, I see what he did. Yeah, that's not real. He's just standing over to the side and he's leaning over. I see that. Satan's tricks aren't that easy. That you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. You think you can go up against that and win? Really? So God's saying here, since you can't, even if you think you can't, then here's what you need to do. Wherefore, taken unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand, therefore having your loins girt about with truth. Be honest and know what God's word is. And have it on the breastplate of righteousness. Do what you're supposed to do. Do what's right. And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Go soul winning. Above all, taking the shield of faith. Trust God. It's easy to trust God when everything's going well. When everything's not going well, that's when it's hard. But that's when you have to do it. Above all, taking the shield of faith, trust God, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation, know you're saved, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Read your Bible faithfully. Now, we all perhaps have days where we get in a rush and maybe wake up late and we're not feeling good and we miss our Bible reading. Okay? Don't do that every day. All right, so how can we cause failure, the failure of Satan in our life? Put on the whole armor of God. Number two, submit to God, resist the devil. James 4:7. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. That's a great promise. First of all, you got to recognize that it's the devil doing it. Man, I'm so discouraged. Why is everything going on? I just want to quit. Something ought to click there. Why do I want to quit? Well, it's because, no, that's not the reason. That's what you think's the reason. Because you're having a hard time. Look a little further and realize the real reason. Satan's using that to discourage you. You want him to do that? You going to let him get a victory over you? You like somebody going, aha. You like people doing that to you? The devil does that to a lot of us. Aha. You know why? Because we don't. I don't know why. Why are people so mean to me? Why does this have to happen to me? Why? Resist the devil. Okay, Satan, get out of here. Leave me alone. I'm going to keep going. Does that mean all of a sudden you're going to be, yay, happy? No. But you just keep going on. You keep resisting. Resist the devil. If some big guy came and he was attacking me, and I'm thinking, whoa, this guy's a lot bigger than me, you know, and he's fighting me, and I'm struggling, I'm going to go, okay, go ahead, kill me. I'm not going to do that. Now, he may kill me, but I'm not going to go, okay, I'm tired of fighting. Go ahead and kill me. I'm going to fight to the very end. And if I'm all bloody and everything, sorry, right before lunch, sorry. But if I'm bleeding everything and I got one arm cut off and the other one's hanging by a thread, wow! If he cuts one of my arms and it's laying on the ground, I'm going to pick him up and hit him with a wet end. keep resisting. Resist the devil. What happens when you resist the devil? He'll flee from you. God said it. Don't be weak. Say no to temptation. Satan, get out of here. Another way, number three, remember God is more powerful than Satan and God is always with you. Satan is not afraid of you, but he is afraid of God. James 2:19, thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and they tremble. They're scared to death of God. 1 John 4:4, ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. You got a guy there to help you. I remember when I was a little kid in grade school, excuse me, and during recess, well, I miss recess. Anyway, but during recess, I was in like, I think I was in fifth grade, and then there was the big sixth graders. Wow. And we played chicken. Now, I know there's lots of different ways that people may, but the way we play chicken is you get on the back of somebody else and they hold your legs up like this and then your arms around their neck and then you go chase everybody and you try to pull somebody else off their person. And that's how you win. Well, in our school in sixth grade, there was this guy. He was huge. I mean, he was like 7'3", 500 pounds. No, he wasn't that big. But he seemed that big. And here's the thing. Nobody could knock him down. And so whenever I was with him, if I could hang on, we always won. Because nobody could knock him down. And, well, we got somebody better now. You got God with you. Nobody can knock him down. Satan can't knock him down. You hold on to God. You stay close to God, you'll stay up too. Number four, last thing. Satan is working feverishly because he knows he doesn't have much time left. Revelation 12:12. Therefore rejoice ye heavens and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea. For the devil is come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. We need to realize that too. John 9:4. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. We don't know how much time we have. Yes, enjoy college life. Take advantage of all the enjoyment it offers. Go on dates. Do all the things that the college has to offer here. But don't let college just be a party for you. When it comes to soul winning, be diligent. When it comes to your walk with God, be diligent about it. Night is coming and Satan knows it. Do you know it? Let's pray. Father, please help us, Lord, to realize that we are in a battle, Lord. It may not look like a battle. We may not hear the cries of battle. We may not see weapons or recognize weapons, Lord, but they're all around us. And Lord, Satan knows the weakness of every one of us. And God, if we're not wearing your armor, if we're not walking with you and holding your hand, Lord, then we're going to be one of those victims that used to be at the college and used to serve God. Lord, I pray that none of these here, Lord, will be a tragedy or a trophy of the devil, Lord, but Lord, help us all to, as Pastor says, all of us all the way, Lord, all the way to graduation and then and beyond, Lord, please help us. We need you.